Let us offer to God the sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. Open your Bible with me, if you will, to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Thursday we will celebrate our National Day of Thanksgiving, the only holiday on our calendar that has no connection with idolatry and heathen, barbaric religion, a day designated to be a day of thanksgiving to our God for His goodness, His providence, His grace, and His mercy. What a day. I realize that for most, it will just be a day off from work, a day of revelry, a day to sit and watch football or parades, maybe a day of shopping for some. But I hope you and I, during this particular season, will be enabled of God to turn our hearts to Him in this dark, dark day with thanksgiving. I pray that God will stir up your heart and mine with thanks to Him. To that end, I've been trying to stir my own heart to celebrate the praise of our God, and I have been reading this 103rd Psalm again and again and again the last few days. Three times in this Psalm, verse 1, verse 2, and again at the end of the Psalm in verse 22, David stirs his soul with these words, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He seems to be repeatedly urging himself to give thanks and praise and adoration to the Lord God. As we read these 22 verses of inspiration together, I pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will stir our souls to praise Him. And then perhaps Thursday, as you gather with your family, God will open you an opportunity to call your family's attention to God's goodness. You might want to make some notes as we go along in this 103rd Psalm, this particular psalm of praise, of adoration, of blessing to God. And maybe you can communicate it to your family. For Shelby and I, that'll be tomorrow night. We gather with our family so they can go down and be with Doug's family on Thursday. But as you gather with your family this week and seek to give thanks to God, call these things to mind and maybe your souls will be stirred to bless Him. Psalm 103, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth thine iniquities, who healeth thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, and His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We're told in the title that this is a psalm of David. It is David who here stirs his heart to bless the Lord. This is David who in the 102nd psalm, beginning at verse 2, complained, "I'm in trouble." He said, "For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin, and I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl in the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop." It's this man David who cries, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." This man David, to whom the prophet Nathan said, "The sword shall never depart from thine house." "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son." And this man David cries, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." It is this David who, when Nathan said to him, "Thou art the man," confessed, "I have sinned." And Nathan said to him, "The Lord hath forgiven thy sin. Nevertheless, the sword shall not depart from thy house." This child is going to die. And David went into his room and wept and cried and begged God to spare that child, and begged God to spare that child, and begged God to spare that child. And then God took the child, and he washed his face and went to the house of God to worship and buried the child. And he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Stirs his heart to bless God in the midst of great heaviness and trouble and sorrow. It is this man David who had a boy named Absalom whom he loved and overloved. A boy named Absalom whom he indulged horribly because of his love for that boy. He refused to exercise the proper discipline of that boy, and he let Absalom get by with his rebellion in his youth, and let Absalom get by with his rebellion as a man. And Absalom turned the hearts of Israel against his father. And he watched his son Absalom divide the kingdom from him. He watched his son Absalom take his wives and publicly commit incest before all Israel to shame his father. At last, he got word that Absalom was dead, and his heart broke within him. It is this man, David, who says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." This is David writing, it has been suggested here in Psalm 103, in his old age, writing in the midst of some illness at a time when he was possessed not only with physical weakness, but with the mental anguish and the spiritual coldness that often accompanies such, that coldness that steals over one's heart. Remembering God's wondrous works, he chides his soul for its coldness. Well might we do so. Oh, God, give me grace to chide my soul for indifference, for coldness, for callousness before you. And he remembers God's wondrous works. He chides his soul for this coldness and says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Truly, this man David was a man after God's own heart. Exemplary for faith. Exemplary even when all things seem to be contrary to one's experience. Anxious to give adoration and praise and honor to God because he believed God. Believed God in the teeth of adversity. Believed God in the teeth of his own indifference. Believed God in the teeth of things that seemed to be contrary to everything he believed and everything God had promised. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. The word here, bless the Lord, is the name by which the Lord God reveals himself as the redemption God of Israel, as God our Redeemer. Now I'm going to stress this because it needs stressing to this congregation, and it needs stressing in this generation, and it needs stressing around the world, no matter what the consequences are. We live in this age of political correctness when the talking heads on television, liberal and conservative, both of them are just as guilty as the other, liberal and conservative, they want to be sure they don't offend anybody and get everything just right. So when some mad, crazy, insane Islamic terrorist goes on a murderous binge and he screams, "Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar," our media lies through their teeth. They know better. They know better. And they say the man went out shooting folks crying, "God is great, God is great, God is great." That is not the meaning of Allah Akbar. That is not the meaning. And the media knows it. The meaning is Allah is greatest. Allah is greatest. Allah is greatest. And Allah is not a name for God. You just well say Baal is greatest, or Ashtaroth is greatest, or the sun is greatest, or the moon is greatest, or great Diana is greatest. Allah is but the idolatrous figment of a mad, insane world's imagination, just as is all other names for all other gods that men invent. It is a name that the pagans give for their God. No, it is not a name for God. The name we bless is Jehovah, the triune God, our Redeemer, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, who alone is God. Who alone is God. Bless the Lord. The word speaks of our God and his redemptive character. Someone said, before we can thank God for his blessings, really, we must thank him for his being. Get that. You will never properly thank God for his blessings until you have learned to thank God for His being. Until you can bow before Him and worship Him as He is, His blessings are just things that you use, not things for which you give thanks to Him. The psalmist commands us here to bless God for His being. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me, bless His holy name. The name by which He makes Himself known. His name is that by which He reveals who He is. His name is all His attributes, all the attributes of His being. The psalmist speaks here of this same blessing that Paul describes in Ephesians chapter 1. Turn back there if you will, or over to Ephesians 1. There's no question at all this 103rd Psalm has a gospel reference. If I'm not mistaken, and I'm sure I'm not, in Psalm 102, David speaks of his distress and trouble. It is our Lord Jesus speaking. Here in Psalm 103, it is our Lord Jesus speaking, and in both speaking of this gospel age and the blessings of God in this age of grace. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. All right, back here in Psalm 103. His holy name embraces every attribute of the triune God in all His being and in all His nature. We are to bless God for who He is. God Almighty, full of grace, God our Savior. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. As the triune God reveals Himself and makes Himself known in the person and work of Jesus Christ, our Mediator, the only Savior for sinners, Jesus Christ the Lord, Jesus of Nazareth, the incarnate God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. True thanksgiving must be thanksgiving from the soul. True worship must be worship from the soul. True praise must be the work of the soul. It is believing with all your heart that the Scriptures speak of as believing unto salvation. It is believing on the Lord with your heart. It's not just words on the mouth, but it is from your inmost being that we worship and praise our God. From your inmost being that you believe God. From your inmost being that you know Him and trust Him. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, look at this next thing, beginning at verse 2. In order to stir up our hearts and souls to bless the Lord, let us recall all those many wondrous benefits of mercy and grace we have personally experienced. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. One of the evidences of our depravity is our horrible tendency of forgetting the blessings we've experienced. Oh, my God, forgive me. Whether in times of failure or success, we tend to overlook the blessings of our God, blessings with which He has lavished us from our youth. And therefore the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. It'll do you good to turn over to Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51. Child of God, don't ever forget who you are. What you are by nature. David, don't ever forget where he found you. Don't ever forget what you were when he saved you by his grace. Don't ever forget what he has done and is doing for you. And you'll notice that these verses 2-5, the things that are spoken of as his benefits are spoken of in the continual present tense. Psalm 51 verse 1, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, you who now pursue righteousness, who seek the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is our righteousness. Look unto the rock which ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit which ye are digged. You and I ought always to be thankful to our God, willing everything that he wills, receiving everything as an example and instance of his goodness, always ready to praise God for all his benefits. That's what it is to walk before God being filled with the Spirit. We live in this generation of Pentecostal, charismatic, wild-eyed, insane people who think that being filled with the Spirit is wandering around on the floor and speaking gibberish, and think being filled with the Spirit is standing up here in front of folks and dancing. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Drunk with wine. That's not a prohibition to drinking wine. If you want to have a glass of wine, have it. It's not a prohibition to drinking anything that doesn't hurt you. No. If you want to drink it, drink it. That's all right. Oh, Brother Don, no Baptist ever say that. I did because the book's plain. It's as plain as it can be. God doesn't forbid that. Our Lord turned water into wine at the marriage feast. I'm not suggesting that you should. I'm just saying it's all right. The Scriptures prohibit drunkenness. What is that? Drunkenness. To be drunk with wine is to have your faculties, your mind, your emotions, your speech, your walk, your motions controlled by something you put in you called alcohol or drugs or whatever else it might be. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Oh God, so possess me, so control me that my thoughts, my emotions, my walk, my speech, my direction in life is constantly controlled by your Spirit. That's called bowing to God all the time. Receiving God's will all the time. Delighting in God's ways all the time. Rejoicing in the Lord all the time. Then in verses 3, 4, and 5, David lists these five blessings of grace to his own soul. These five blessings of grace, things he had personally experienced. And by recalling these benefits, he stirs up his soul to bless God. Oh, don't forget all his benefits. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But in particularly, understand this. This one I call my soul to bless is God who forgiveth. I love the next word, all. Who forgiveth. Present tense. Well, that was done from eternity, yes, but he's still doing it. Well, that was done at Calvary, yes, but he's still doing it. That was done when first we believed on him, and the word of God said, the Lord has forgiven your sin, yes, but he's still doing it. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Our God is a God of forgiveness. Turn over to Psalm 130. Psalm 130. The famous Puritan theologian John Owen wrote a multi-volume set in theology, 16 volumes, if I remember correct. Might be a few more than that, I can't remember. His most famous work probably is his work on the death of death and the death of Christ. In my opinion, his best work is his exposition of Psalm 130. Listen to this. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? David read it a little bit ago, according to your fear, so is your wrath. That ought to terrify anybody. According to your fear, so is your wrath. But listen to this. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. There is forgiveness with thee. God forgives me all my sins. There is no such thing as unforgiven sin for a believer. There is no such thing as sin God will not forgive for his elect. There is no such thing as any sin that is not forgiven to any for whom Christ has died. God's forgiveness of our sins is a continual, perpetual act of grace through the blood of Christ. No wonder David's saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. If you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have reason to bless the Lord this day, who forgives all your sins, all your iniquities, past, present, and future, sins of thought, sins of heart, sins of deed, every form of sin, every inequity, everything that just misses by a little, let alone all the horrid evil. Look at the next line. Who healeth all thy diseases. Does the Lord really do that? Not your physical diseases. Not while you live in this world. Where there is healing of physical disease, God does it. No question about that. But he doesn't heal all your diseases or you'd never die. He doesn't heal all your diseases or you wouldn't have to wear those glasses. He doesn't heal all your diseases or you wouldn't be taking medicine for your arthritis. No, he doesn't heal all your diseases. But he's talking about another kind of disease. He's talking about a disease called the plague of the heart. All the corruptions of your nature. Healeth all your diseases. But Brother Don, all those corruptions are still there. They are indeed. He's talking about the very same thing as forgiveness. Using a different word. And we'll see it again in just a little bit. You see, the Lord God Almighty doesn't look upon the sins of his children as crimes to be punished, but as diseases to be cured. And he deals with us as a father who pities his children. Can you imagine a mother or a father being angry with a child because the child got cancer and got to go through all the ordeal with cancer? Being angry with the child because the child has been run over, because the child is playing in the street, we're told not to play in the street. Why, that's absurd. It's absurd. Oh no. The child's got to be taken care of. And this is a disease from which you must be healed. And when God's finished healing all our diseases, he will have healed all diseases of the body. and all diseases of the soul completely in resurrection glory. We are forgiven in the court of heaven, cleansed in the court of our own souls by the blood of Jesus Christ and the grace of our God, and we shall be at last cleansed in this sweet experience of it, when we no longer have these bodies of sin. Third, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. We so greatly rob ourselves of the meaning of the Scriptures when we limit words in Scripture to a sense in which God doesn't limit them. We tend to limit salvation to that time when first we began to believe on the Lord Jesus, when our lives were radically changed by His grace. That's not correct. Salvation includes everything. Everything involved in the deliverance of our souls. We tend to limit redemption to the blood atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not correct. That is not correct. Redemption involves the complete deliverance of God's elect from all sin and all the evil consequences of sin, at last in resurrection glory, by the precious blood of Christ and the power of God's grace. He redeemeth thy life from destruction. Christ redeemed us with His blood at Calvary. He obtained eternal redemption for us when He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. This redemption is applied to us when God the Holy Spirit gives us faith and sprinkles our consciences from dead works to serve the living God. And the power of that redemption is experienced continually in the soul. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. And He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Larry, we do nothing but bring destruction. That's what sinful man does in all his deeds, and he only brings destruction. The Lord redeemeth thy life from destruction, from present destruction and from everlasting destruction. Now look at the fourth thing. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. He made you kings and priests unto God, a royal priesthood and holy nation, and He puts a crown on your head, a crown like no other in this world, a crown of loving kindness and tender mercies. We who were bent on destruction, He crowns with loving kindness and tender mercies. Now watch this. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Tell me, child of God, how often have you tried today to satisfy your mouth with poisonous things? And God won't allow it if you're His. He's determined to satisfy your mouth with good things. With good things. To satisfy your heart with Christ and His righteousness, His salvation, His grace, His glory, His goodness. Not with the things of this world. Do you remember what the wise man tells us about the reprobate of this world? God has set the world in his heart so that it cannot find God. God set the world in his heart so that it can't find God. Oh, thank you, Lord, for not setting the world in my heart. Thank you for satisfying my mouth continually with good things, for graciously making it impossible for anything to satiate my soul except you, your grace, and your Son, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Turn to Isaiah 40. This is a promise of long life, eternal life in the heavens, heavenly life. Eagles, I'm told, may live to be more than 100 years old, and the old bird soars gracefully in the heavens where she is at home. And the Lord replenishes her feathers, making them new every year at the time of molting. And so he recovers his saints from their decays and their falls, and he fills them with life and with joy. Look at this. They, Isaiah 40 verse 31, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let me tell you again, it's worth repeating. In our youth, we run. In our age, we walk. The young will run without weariness. The old will walk without fear. They that wait on the Lord will mount up with wings as eagles, soaring like a bird in the heavens. And they run. Yes, they run. Run swiftly, seeking to do the Lord's will and weary not in doing so. But then they walk patiently. Walk patiently before God and faint not. No matter what comes their way, no matter who roars against them, no matter what's thrown at them, they walk and faint not. Even in old age, grace renews. I like the picture of Caleb. His name means faithful dog. And when Caleb was 80 years old, he said, "My strength's not abated. Give me this mountain, I'll take it." When he was 80 years old, he said, "I'm stronger than any young man out there. Just give me the opportunity. I'll take it." Grace continually renews God's people. Now, look at the next slide, beginning of verse 6. As God allows us to recall his benefits personally, those things we've personally experienced, we have reason equally to bless, extol, adore, and praise our God for his works of mercy that are bestowed upon his saints collectively, bestowed upon his church universally. Look at verse 6. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment. Now listen to me, children of God. Learn to look upon God's righteousness and judgment, both in the redemption of our souls by Christ and in the exercise of his providence, as things for which to bless the Lord. He raises up nations, and in righteous judgment he tears them down. And he does it for the saving of his people, nations around the world throughout history. Ethiopia and Seba and Israel he sacrifices for his own. Rome and Russia and Great Britain and the U.S. are all designed for the saving of his people. And everything he does in righteousness and in justice. Let us not murmur nor complain. He made known his ways to Moses, and his acts to the children of Israel. And therefore, when they saw Pharaoh and the Egyptian armies lying on the shore, they sang his praise. And when they saw the Amalekites slain, they rejoiced in him. And when they saw Goliath laying with his head severed from his shoulders, they sang his praise. He showed his ways, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful. He's full of mercy. He's gracious. Oh, ever so gracious. Oh, don't tempt God's grace. You will never tempt God's grace. He's gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He won't always appear to be angry with you. With me, he hides his face for a season from his own. But he hath not dealt with us after our sins. Oh God, thank you. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. How high you reckon it is to God's throne. Our Lord ascended above the heaven of heavens. Just that high. Just that great is his mercy toward us. As far as the east is from the west, so far as the scapegoat in the hands of a fit man removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. I'm not looking for something to say. I want you to pay attention to what I'm fixing to say, what I'm fixing to read to you. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Have I got your attention? Here's the reason why. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Eric, he doesn't expect any better from you or from me. He doesn't expect any better. He doesn't expect any better. When he chose us, he knew what he was getting. And he remembers we're just dust. Just dust. Would to God he would teach me to look upon his children with such pity and compassion. As for man who opposes, man who fights us, man who opposes our God, his days are as grass, like a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it's gone. And nobody even remembers he was there. Read on, verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, that is, who believe on his Son, to those who remember his commandments to do them, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Truly, this is our God, the God of Israel, who pities us and remembers we're dust. And then the psalmist speaks of God's sovereign providence. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens. His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, those chosen angels whom God reserved for himself, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, that is all the host of heaven and earth, ye ministers of his, servants of his, that do his pleasure. What's that referring to? Is that referring to the prophets? Yes. Is that referring to the angels? Yes. Is that referring to God's preachers? Yes. Is that referring to the righteous in the world? Yes. Is that referring to the wicked? Yes. Is that referring to the demons of hell? Yes. All are his ministers, servants of our God, doing his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And when God gets done, everything that has being will bless his holy name. Everything that is, has been, or shall be will bless him. Let us then bless the Lord from our souls now and all the days of our lives. Amen.